Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahanao Bhunaktu Sahavirayam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navaditamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay. Chaitanopanayanam, Natya Shastra. Then in the conclusion, now dramatic plots and styles. There are 10 types of dramatic plays, rupakas. These rupakas differ from one another according to the nature of the styles displayed by the hero and other characters. Right, so, yeah. The dramatic plot, vastu, the number of acts, anka, and the sentiments, rasa, that are displayed. Right, so the nature of what is the hero and other characters, what is the plot, what is the number of acts, and what particular sentiments are the prominent. That will then define the 10 different kinds of dramatic plays. Of the 10 types, Nataka and Prakarana are considered complete because they are made up of all the 4 styles, graceful, grand, verbal, and energetic, and consist of 5 to 10 acts. While the rest of them do not include graceful style, and contain less than 5 acts. Right? Because the 5 acts, because there's 5 parts. Right? And so minimum we'd have to have 5 acts means 1 act per 1 part. Because then you have a complete unfolding of development. So now, you can have 10 because you can have 2 acts per part. You know, 2 different aspects you want to bring out in each part. Like that. Nataka, the play which has for its subject matter a well-known story, for its hero a celebrated person of exalted nature, and which describes the character of a person born in the line of royal seers, divine protection for him, his many superhuman powers, and exploits such success in different endeavors and amorous pastimes, and which has sustainable number of acts, anka, and introductory scenes, Prave Shaka is called a Nataka. Right, so it's like it says, it has all the things, you know, the sustainable and all that. It means all the things can naturally be unfold. It's not, there's no artifice at all. Right? Dramatic plot. Dramatic plot, Vastu, is called the body of the drama, and it forms the core conception of theatrical structure. Srila Rupa Goswami, in his book Natika Chandrika, elaborates on this topic with illustrations from Lalita Madhava, a 10-act dramatic play written by Srila Rupa Goswami. The plot of a drama are of 2 kinds. Principal, adhikarika, where the main line of action predominates, and subsidiary, prasangika, where different lines of plots are tied together. Right, so the primary is the one that's going along. But now this may span so much time and this and that. So the secondary plot, it's running on its own, but it ties together the main plot. You know, if there's some difference in time, the secondary plot will bring that out. You don't have to bring it out by the primary plot. You know, when you try to bring out by the primary plot, sometimes it doesn't always work. But the secondary plot, like the main characters are talking about something that happened and how much time, it may come off okay. But if secondary actors talk about that, it comes off much better. Does that make sense? It's just much more easy for them, because they talk all this kind of stuff. Yeah. The principal plot contains 5 elements, prakriti. 1, the seed, bija. 2, the vital drop, bindu. 3, the episode, pataka. 4, the episodical incident, prakari. And 5, the action, karya. Action, which involves the effort made by the hero for attainment of result, has 5 stages. 1, beginning, prarambha. 2, effort, prayatna. 3, possibility of attainment, prapta sambhava. 4, certainty of attainment, niyata prapti. And 5, attainment of the object, phala prapti. The principal plot is known to be consisting of 5 main segments, sandhis, footnote 3. For the sake of fulfillment of the main intention, connecting the different parts of the plot in regular succession is known as sandhi, right? So you have these 5 stages that it mentions, you know, the seed, the drop, the episode, like this. So each one is pushing on forward the plot, but each one has to be properly connected together. And so because each one then therefore connects to the next one, it's called then the sandhi, right? So it's not about the point in between them. It's about that they are connected. Otherwise, if you have one thing and then the next thing has nothing to do with it, then you end up with Finnegan's Wake. You know, so... No? Yeah, it's just, it's one of those, there was a thing before, it was popular, I'm not sure, I mean, definitely there in the 60s, may have gone back a bit into the 50s, where it was just, it was this idea of, I think it was called flow of consciousness. And it's just whatever would come into their mind. In other words, basically it would be like writing down daydreaming or dreaming. You know how it goes and it transforms and turns into something else and all that. You know, like one that I always find very interesting is that you're sleeping, but you have to actually go to the bathroom. You know, but because you're sleeping, you know, you're lazy, don't want to get up. So in your dream, you go into a toilet, right? And then when you go in, you turn around to close the door, right? You close the door. When you turn back, you're out in an open field. You're not in the toilet. It's just, you know, it just keeps, because you never made it to the bathroom, right? You know, so these kind of things. So that kind of stuff, then they do. So you can see there's no sandhi. What's the field got to do with the bathroom? Right, so there's no sandhi, so you don't call that sandhi. But it was a very popular style. So then there was one, you know, story written like, I mean, there's so many like that. But that was famous. Finnegan's Wake is just, it has some certain common things. I think all the main characters are called by have the names that connect with the same initials, but completely different. It just from one thing transforms into something completely different. You know, and whether it actually concludes or anything like that, it doesn't matter. Or I think what happens in that one, it comes around and he's exactly at the beginning again. So nothing's changed. You know, so like that. You know, so here's no. It, there's a natural progression, and that's the so that the one, you know, the seed then naturally goes. It goes throughout. Then the vital drop comes in, and there's a natural connection that goes to the episode, the episodical, and then the like this. Then it naturally works. So the principal plot is known to be consisting of 5 main segments, sandhis, which help in forming a systematic connection between the 5 elements of the plot. The remaining segments are to be subordinated to these 5 segments of the principal plot through the subsidiary plot. The 5 main segments of a play are 1, opening, 2, progression, pratimukha, 3, development, 4, the pause, vimarsha, and 5, the conclusion. Near Vahana. So we can see is that these 5 go on top of those 5, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so the seed, the bija is the opening, because it establishes everything. And then the natural thing, the vital drop, the bindu, is the progression, the pratimukha, right? So you have the mukha and the pratimukha. So that naturally moves the seed forward, right? The development and how it develops and the pause, there's always going to be something that takes it off into a different direction or stuff like that. Does that make sense? You know, the hero's going out and then he forgets that he didn't turn off the gas, so he has to go back and turn that off and that, or call a friend or something like this. But then his phone died, so he has to go and then get it recharged and then like this. Then he can call, but then his friend is out, so he has to leave a message. You know, like that. And then finally it works out and then he can move forward. Does that make sense? Yes.
So the 5 elements of the plot is what, when somebody describes the story, the script writer,
right.
First he constructs those 5 elements. Then, when he has to divide into scenes, then he has to take care of all these sandhis along with its It each has its limbs.
Try to keep almost. So these first five, they have the limbs, and that way you get the 64.
Yeah. Those are the limbs of this man.
Okay.
But then the subsidiary plot has its own sandhis, which are not described here.
Mm-hmm.
How to express. If you describe these five men, then that can be just expressed like by removing or adding something little bit here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then these action, they also basically fit in with these five, no?
Yes. But it is exactly mentioned that it goes one with each.
Means it basically can go like that, but at the same time is within each one of them you can be attaining something and this and that. So, but effort makes this point. In other words, there's a beginning, there's an effort, the possibility, certainty, and attainment. So there is attainment. So these things where it comes to the thing in the end and there's no attainment, or there's no possibility, or that's bogus. People are not satisfied. You know, people think, oh, that was so different. I was so, and now you can speculate and this, and what did happen and all these different things. Like some famous plots, people are still today wondering what happened. They still talk about them. But that's the point. So you can see, see how successful we got people talk. No, you didn't satisfy them. That's why they're going. You know? So the point is it has to go through these things.
So this, in the five aspects of action, the fifth one will naturally fall at the end, and the first one will naturally fall in the first.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest three can fall anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Putting the effort, possibility of attainment, certainty, it can fall in any of those.
And it can keep going, coming and going.
Yeah, yeah,
it looks like he's going to attain, but then an obstacle comes up, there's a pause, then it moves forward again, and there's like that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because that's the point. It has to be able to, you know, be cyclic in there, but at the same time, it's moving in the progression from the one to the five. Mm-hmm. You actually attain. Is that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Each of these segments have different limbs called sandyongas. The acharyas declare that with the understanding of rasa, the mellow or humor, and bhava, the mood or state of being. It means you have the taste. And then you have that mood or what mood you're in and what state you're in and the moods, all that together then gives the rasa. As well as observing the objective, one should derive success in the drama through these limbs of sandhi. So you understand what is bhava, what is rasa, how that moves together, how that combines, and you know how to obtain an objective. How would be the natural thing to do something. Right?
Yes.
With that, then you can put together everything. So that means something has to be obtained. So if it's just that, he did something that no one expected, that's just for his own pleasure. That's just self-centered, you know, so no one really appreciates that. You know, you can say, it's so different, it's so this and that, but no one really likes it. They like a nice, proper, everything's, you know, comes together, everything's wrapped up, everything like that. Then you're satisfied. But otherwise, if you just have something that's not there, then, you know. I mean, if you look at it, what do they say? You know, some people have some psychological disturbances or social, you know, disturbances or pathological difficulties. And that because there was no satisfaction or wrapping up of things when they were a child, you know. Parents didn't put in the energy, one of them left, or somebody died. At least in that, something goes on like that. And so that causes all kinds of trouble. And then playwrights think that they can do that, and it'll be lauded and fabulous, and so, you know. But then it'll only be appreciated by the intellectuals for the technical points. But for the general mass, they won't like it, the ladies won't like it, you know, so then, you know, what's the point? You know, I mean, you look at it in the house. The man is satisfied with the technical way it unfolded, but there was no taste in it and the wife's not satisfied. Is that a happy home? No. So then why would they think that this is reality? Just because intellectually you could have done anything. But the point is you have to wrap all of them up together. To just be able to do the one, they think, we're so special and unique. Yeah, you're special and unique because you weren't complete in what you did. You only address a particular group. Then from the beginning, make it about the intellectuals. Why do you present the whole thing for the mass and all the things and all the energy and all this? And at the end, then it's for the intellectuals. That's cheating. That's just cheating. Yes?
I mean, we see also in the philosophy the same phenomena, starting with Shankara. He's inconclusive.
Yes.
He points out the oneness, but doesn't talk about the
difference. Right.
And then his followers speculate unlimitedly.
Yes.
And then in the Western philosophy, everybody is like that.
Yes.
It's inconclusive. They never bring you to a conclusion.
Yes.
Because the next one comes and starts from whatever is there, and then just continues, and then
the
takes
speculation.
It, yeah, takes it wherever he wants to take.
Yeah, a different direction.
Yeah.
They're speculating here, there's no satisfaction, so he brings it here. So, but there's always the idea that they're trying to please everybody and all that, but you can only do that by the proper resolution of relationship.
Yeah.
Like that. Intellectuals may be pleased with certain grammatical or logical progressions and things like that, but you'll never, it won't be pleasing to others. You know. And so you can say, well, the intellectual is the most important. Great, let them pay you. Let the intellectuals pay you. Why is it you're taking all the money from the masses and then writing it for the intellectuals? But at the same time presenting that it's for the masses. So, like that. That's the whole point, is that, yes, you have those, that's an intellectual thing, doesn't accomplish anything, just uses technical things like that. And then, yes, the audience comes, 10, 15 people, 20 people come to watch in a big, you know, open kind of space. And then, you know, afterwards, then they all appreciate, and they're happy, great. But you knew it was for them, they came, they did, they were happy. But you don't put that on a main stage and invite the public, they won't be happy. You know, you took their money and then they're not happy. That's cheating. And then saying, oh, well, they're not cultured enough. No, but then don't invite them. Right? If they're not cultured enough, then why you're taking their money? Does that make sense? So the whole point is that because it's this process is coming from the Lord to Brahma, and Brahma down to Bharat Muni, and from Bharat Muni to the sages, and then from Bharat Muni's sons down to the earth, it has a purpose that it's there for. It's there for uplifting the consciousness back to Krishna. That's its purpose. And so it has a process. We can't make up, as Prabhu was saying. You can't speculate on it. You can use your intelligence to come up with some nice way of putting it together that's special, that makes it unique, visesha. But you can't not use the system. Like that. Otherwise, it's not being written for humans.
Also, we see it, although apparently jnanis, they use a higher method to approach knowledge.
Right.
Karmis are much more practical. They have a life.
Yes, they have a life. Intellectuals don't really have a life. Like that. I mean, their life is their intellectualism. And a few of them, that means the ones that are well respected are the ones that have a life and are intelligent. But it comes out when it's necessary. It's not all that they do. So you have that kind of, you know, that kind of classic gentleman who, you know, you've known him for years and never knew he knew a certain subject matter or a certain skill. But then in the conversation, it came around to that, and there was some reason for him to mention something, and then you actually knew he knew what was going on. That kind of person, but those are very more rare. And before, that was more the classic kind of gentleman. As you see, as it says, the hero. The hero, you know, he knows the shastras, he has all the good qualities, he's dynamic, he's active, he has personal relationships. So that before, that's why then people relate to the hero, because he is smart, he is practical, he is cultured, right? You know, he does consider relationships, and that's why he is. And then the other roles, they don't have all that quality. That's the point. So people are trying to aspire after the qualities of someone great. Yeah. Dramatic style, vritti. The name style, vritti, means a repository of the various emotional states and sentiments. The experts have said that there are four divisions of vritti that are known as the mothers of drama, namely verbal, bharati, energetic, arabhati, grand, sattvati, and graceful, kaushiki. These start because, say, the vritti is where the sentiments and emotions will stay, where they'll be able to rest. So they're either resting in a verbal presentation or in an energetic one or a grand or a graceful. So through these, the verbal, energetic, grand, and graceful, you can present the various emotions and sentiments that you want to give. Because point of it's just great, but it doesn't do any emotions, then what's the point? It has to bring out something and add to the whole how the hero is moving through, just because it's a grand thing, but, you know, so what? You know, they're saying, so sometimes you see a plot, very thin plot, but they do things very grand, big, amazing sets, amazing everything. But the plot's very thin. They're not really connecting much together. Nothing really much is being attained properly. You know? Then it doesn't work. No one's satisfied. So it has to be that the sentiments that come along, how grand it is, that means that many sentiments. How the verbal, it has to be the sentiments, or the graceful, how the sentiments have to come out. No? These styles are derived from the exploits of Lord Vishnu during the pastime of killing Madhu and Kaitava. These styles were utilized by the sages in fashioning similar styles arising from the words and gestures. These styles, which were desired, well-born and full of various charis, were again taken by Bharata at Lord Brahma's command for the purpose of making plays. The verbal style, Bharati Vritti, was from the Rig Veda. The grand Sattvati was from the Yajurveda, the graceful Kaishiki from the Samaveda, and the remaining one, the energetic or Arabhati, from the Atharvaveda. Because the Rig Veda, it's all the words, it's establishing, it's like Sambandha and all this and that. The Yajurveda is grand because you set up everything with that, you establish everything, I mean, you set up everything ready for the Yajna, make all the arrangements. So how that big, huge Yajshala that's there, that's so nicely arranged, that's Yajurveda. Then the priest comes and sits and calls the deity, that's Rigveda. Right? So that's the verbal, that's the other is the grand. Then the what do you call it? The graceful, the Samaved, because that's all the Samans, all the songs. And they sing all the nice songs, that brings out the graceful aspect. And then the energetic, that all comes from the Atharva, because anything left over other than these three, that's an Atharva. Sattvati Vritti, which is Yajurveda, okay?
Maharaj, mm-hmm. So that means what kind of instruments you use within the Yajna, how do you carve it, all those mentioned in Atharva Veda?
Yes. It's what the spoon is, what the this, which spoon is used, all, that's all Atharva. I mean, that's all Yajur. The setting up.
What spoon you use, but how it should be made and all.
Oh, that, I think that's all, that will be Atharva, yeah.
Because that energetic.
Yeah, that thing. But it's also just, the, you know, in there because it can be all the other crazy things. Because in there, that's like you see, yeah, somebody wants to get something done. You know, the kamika stuff, that will all be in Atharva. So, you know, I have a desire, I want to obtain something. The other things is, you know, it's the duties and everything. But there, it's like what I want to get from it.
Okay.
Like that. But it's not that there's not proper stuff there. It's just that it's what's ever left.
Yeah.
Okay. Sattvati Vritti is implied in the sentiments. That's the grand. Maybe put that in there. Grand? Yeah. In the sentiments, tranquility. Heroic, amazing, amazement, joyful, and parental. But in the conjugal and laughter sentiments, Kaishiki Vritti is more desired. Right? So Kaishiki is the
graceful.
Similarly, in the disgusted, pitiable, and fearful sentiments, the Arabhati Vritti is implied. However, Bharati Vritti should be utilized throughout all the sentiments. Bharati means the verbal. So verbal is always there.
Yes.
Then you may add into it the other three. Right? So that's how you can have a drama just speaking.
Yes.
And it still works. It's very condensed.
Yes.
But it still works. But to do one of the other ones on its own, it's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
So the verbal has to be there throughout. So you can see it's the you can see the basis of all that. Siddhi, success, right? Another main point. Bharat Muni states that Natya Siddhi is of two types. One, Daiva Siddhi, and two, Manushi Siddhi. If the spectators show their approval by verbal or physical gestures during the enactment of the play, it is to be considered Manushi Siddhi, human success. But if they are spellbound and watch the performance without any noise or interruption, it is to be considered Daivi Siddhi, divine success. Right? They're completely, yes, spellbound, like that. There's just no reaction, they're so absorbed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what Prabhupada was mentioning when he performed that drama, because they practiced it so nicely in that. Then they got the Daivi Siddhi. People were just absorbed, there was no reaction. But, you see, modern, they're always going for a Manushi Siddhi.
Yes.
You know, when people stand up and scream and clap and shout and, very excited, then they consider, yes, this is good. But the other one is it's just there and just people are so taken aback, no one even moves like that. That's the Daivi Siddhi.
Michael Jackson's performance, when he comes onto the stage, the first few minutes, when he opens his glove and puts everybody's pin drop silent.
Who's that?
Michael Jackson.
Oh, I see. Everybody, okay, yeah. So he gets that. And then the rest of it's money. So he starts with the Daivi and then it goes down from there. Yeah. But I also noticed that, like at Prashad's really, really nice. You serve. For the first few minutes, no one says anything. Complete silence. Everyone's just absorbed and eating like that. And then once they kind of get full, then they all start talking and this and that. And, yeah. Proper production, brilliance of pageant, samridhi, and actors capable of good production are the three points of merit in a performance. Right? So the overall how it's done, the pageant, how you've arranged everything, the visual. So how it's organized, and brought about and all that, then how it's the visual of it, and then the actors and how they are able to And the actor's capability in acting. So the actors are acting well. The production is how organized, so it goes and everything matches, all the different sentiments and movements and hand gates and everything like that, all the abhinaya. And then the pageantry means how it just looks and how just the whole thing, how it affects you just by how everybody comes on together or does things or like that. Those three, then, that are the three points of merit in the performance. According to the producers of plays, the best performance occurs when all these factors combine. Because otherwise, if you try to do just one of them, then sometimes you see proper production, someone will get a credit for that, but not for anything else. Like that. Or brilliance of pageant, there'll be something there, or something like, or the actor will get. But then the point is, when you see is something gets credit for the actor, credit for the director, credit for the production, like that, then that you could say that's your best. Like that. And there are ones that are like that. They just take all categories. Like that. Sattvati Vritti. Oh no, we're down here. No play can be devoid of any merit or totally free from all faults. Right? So there'll be something of value in any play. Like that. And even the best play, there'll be some technical fault. Like that. Hence, faults in the production of a play should not be taken to extremes. But the actor should not, for that reason, be careless about words, gestures, and costumes, as well as about representing the sentiments and the emotional states, dance, vocal, and instrumental music, and popular usages of the same kind relating to a performance. Right? So words, gestures, costumes, that was all before, about the sentiments, emotional states, dance, vocal, instrumental, and popular usages. You also have to take popular usage. If you do something that locally they don't do, they won't they relate to it or appreciate it. So you have to see all that. So just because that shouldn't be taken to extreme doesn't mean you shouldn't be taking care. So in other words, the actors, the production, and that are trying to do the best they can with no flaws, and whatever flaw, and if they're making that sincere effort, then whatever flaws may be there, then the spectators, the audience, then they don't take them so seriously. But if one doesn't take seriously, the other will take. In other words, if the actors take it seriously, the audience won't. But if the actors don't, the audience will. It always has to be balanced. So that's why if everybody else says it's fabulous, but then, you know, the critic has to point out all the faults, it's like, so? You know? I mean, if you're critiquing the playwright, that's all right. Or, you know, something else like this, okay. You're writing it for the playwright or you're writing it for the director. That's fine. But then why are your comments coming in a public a publication? You know? So in other words, it's going to the public, but you're not writing for the public. You're writing for the director should have done this, you know, the actor should have done this, or costuming should have done this. That's the people who are involved in the production. So if you're that critic, then afterwards you point that out for them, for their benefit, then that's fine. Write them a private letter. But why you're putting it on the public? So that's, again, cheating. Because all you're finding is faults. You're known, oh, he's the toughest critic and all that. It's anybody can find fault. It just you just have to have a certain amount of sin to be able to speak it. That's all. That's the only difference. You're uncultured, so you can say it. You know, so if you can't do the other side, point out what's good and that. In other words, if all you do is find fault and you don't find anything good, then what kind of critic? Anybody can do that. Means in the way of finding fault, maybe how technical you found fault is very, very, you know, educated or intellectual. But the principle is not glorious. But if it's about here's the standard and this is not according to the standard, then you can show how to get to the standard and produce that, then it's there. Therefore, Prabhupada makes the point that first do what they do, then you talk. Does that make sense? Yeah? Yeah. And so then in that way, then you don't take it to extremes. If it's there, it's fine. But then you say, this happened, but it doesn't matter because it comes out so nicely. And people will say, yeah, I saw that, but I didn't care. And the person writing it doesn't care, and then everybody's happy. Vocal and instrumental music. The role of music in Natya Shastra, in conjunction with other components, is primary to heighten the dramatic effects of the acts and scenes in the play. Songs along with instrumental music have been called the resting place, literally bed of the drama, because the songs and the playing of musical instruments being well executed, the performance of the drama does not encounter any risk. So the bed, that doesn't mean it's like the bed rock. You know, that will be the emotions and sentiments actually being gotten across to the audience. You know, and being that done through Abhinaya and through the vrittis and all that, all these things. That you can say is there. That's the body. But here the bed meaning, if you're on the bed, it's comfortable. You know, you sit on the bed, and from there, all actions can go on. So it's the sitting place. So that's why it's like, in what's going on, if it's done nicely, you don't even notice the music. But because of the music, you know exactly what's going to happen. You know, the music goes in one way, you know, it goes energetic, you know that something, action is going to happen. It goes into a sorrowful, you know, that mood's going to come up, you know. Does that make sense? So it, therefore, it gives that support, that background. Does that make sense?
Can we say that the music has a very important role because it is like, we can say, mathematics, scientific?
Yes, it's mathematics, scientific, but at the same time, is that it's showing emotions.
Yes, yes.
because it's a combination of notes and time. Right? Because you can do music basically seemingly without time. You know, like that, just kind of free. But as pointed out by musicians, it's just that the timing is very, very slow. Because the person's moving at a steady space. So it does have a time to it. But it's not moving within where it starts, that time is there, and therefore it'll have that influence. Does that make sense? So it's more than just the mathematics. The mathematics is part of it. Because rasa is being expressed in time, because action happens in time. So therefore, your performance of your expression of sentiments, you know, is happening within in time.
Yes.
Right? So time is supporting. But it's the sentiments and the rasa, that's the most important aspect.
Yes.
Is that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so you don't want to take it too far.
Yes. Yes.
Like that. But it's not that you can't have a whole production based off of all the timing in the music. You know, because as it says, you know, it'll be how he'll walk, the drums will do a thing, you know, how the guy's walking or, you know, stuff like that, or the king's going out with the army and then the drums and all that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, then these things can be done in time. And when they dance, it's in time. When they sing, it's in time. But it's just because rasa must match movement. Just like the hand movement should match the sentiment, or the facial should match the sentiment, or the costumes and makeup should match the sentiment, or the backdrop. You don't have this wonderful romantic thing, and then, you know, the background is like a cemetery or something, you know, unless it's Corpse Bride or something, you know. So then, you understand? So they have to match. The sentiment is the main thing, and then this matches. So timing is just, you know, so that it all goes nicely together. So you want to have these two. Is that the mood is in a... So therefore, the Haladini is what's being appreciated, and that, but it's not that the Sandini and Samvit are in pursuance of that. They match. They're junior. So time's never the main. It's the sentiments the main. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's just eternally like that in the pastimes. So, yeah. Regular musical instruments are of four kinds, such as string, tata, covered, avadhana, solid, ghana, and hollow, shushira. Among these, the stringed are those with strings. The covered means the drums, right, because they have some covering on them to make the sound. The solid, the cymbals, and the hollow, the flutes. Connection with the dramatic performance, nataka, they have threefold application. One, that in which the stringed instruments, tata, predominate. Two, that in which the drums, avadhana, predominate. And three, their general application during the dramatic performance, natya, krita. So sometimes you'll see it's just mainly that, and the like you're saying here, the beat, the drums and that are very much in the background, like that. At the same time as you'll have ones where the drums are prominent along with the music. And then there's the where it'll just be balanced. Thus, the song, gana, the instrumental music, vadya, and the acting, natya, have different kinds of appeals. Vividhashraya should be made by the producers of plays like a brilliant entity. Right? So you take the song, the instruments, and the acting, you put that all together so it's appealing. That's the point that's there. Right? You know, but of that, it's not, if you just want song in that, then just do a musical performance. But it's a play, so therefore the acting is the prominent thing. But the music and the song, those will all back it up and make it very, you know, bring out the sentiments. Yeah? Yes?
So I was thinking that meditation is much easier if accompanied by music.
Yes.
We go deep. And then if it's personal, like japa, you know, you have to make an extra effort. But with kirtan, it's, you know.
Yes, yeah, easy. It's easy.
It's easy.
Yeah, it's interesting. Is that the, what do you call it? The, Yeah, it's like that. If it's something peaceful in that, then it'll be a little bit more, you know, either balanced or more the vocal and string, because string means vocal and all that, will be kind of more prominent. Then if it's something very big action in that, then it's kind of like the drums and the beat, like when the boys would do maha cleaning and they're working. They'll generally put on some kind of kirtan that really has a driving beat. You know, you can't put on, you know, something very slow and, you know, like that. Yeah. Tala. One ought to make great efforts in observing the proper time measurement, tala, while singing and playing instruments. For a dramatic performance, natya is based on the tala. Right? Because everything is about timing. You hear about in the play, it's all timing. You say, so, when are we going? Soon. The timing's off. You know, you say, well, why are they doing that? You know, unless, okay, you can put that in as if you're asking him. The two are fighting, right? They're fighting, they're going to have a conversation. Some guys come into the room and they're fighting with them individually. And so, but they're so good, while they're fighting, they're still carrying on the conversation. So he says, so, when are we going? You know, just like this, and the guy's, soon, like this, you know, like that. Okay, then it works, because you can see the timing. Right? So therefore, the music must, you know, the thing has to be, the song and the time has to be in line, because when you say something, it has to match. You can't, I can't say, so it must be done. That doesn't work. It must be done. They have to go together. So timing has to work with the thing. You know, otherwise you have that one, they always do, you know, so many things are said. And then, you know, you have those, what is it, you know, this, they'd have these, what do you call it, where they do the, I think it was, I'm not sure if it was, where it was, but maybe it was Japan or something. They would take English movies and that or something, or Japanese movies, and then put English onto them. But the English would always be behind the thing. So the guy's already, you know, already either you hear all the sound, then he moves his mouth, or he moves his mouth, and then sound comes like that. So it has to be everything. You expect that the emotion and the abhinaya will be together. So in the same way, is the song and the tal have to be together. You know, and they must match the movement, so the acting, the movement, all these things are all together. Because time is establishing the thing, right? The sandini is there. It establishes everything in its relationship. So it has to be there. For a song deficient in a varna or having a superfluous varna is held within measure by the tal. Right? So if the tone's there and you don't do all the notes, but you keep it within the tal, it'll still work. Hence, this should be carefully studied by the producers of plays. You know, it's just like you have the thing, he's doing something slow, like that. And then in the same time, he does something really fast. As long as it fits in the time, it works. Yeah. You know, or he does something really slow, as long as it comes in the time. You see sometimes like that? You know, that they're going, they'll do, like it would be, Eindre would sometimes, he'd be going along, the same beat is going, but then he would double the quickness of the mantra. So it's Hare Krishna, Krishna, like this, but it would stay in the same beat. And then other times he'd go out and do it really half speed, but it stays in the beat. So that's the point, is you can move that, but the beat has to always be. Yeah. Hence, this should be carefully studied by the producers of plays. The seven types of traditional songs are all recognized by their tal. Hence, one should, with every effort, learn their talas. One cannot be a singer or player of instruments unless one knows the tala. Right? So in traditional music schools in India, is that even if you're going to be a vocal or instrumental player, you still have to learn drum. Mm-hmm. You don't go into it as deeply as a drum player, but you actually sit down and play drums for, you learn like 6 months, you play drum, so that you know what beats go with which songs, like he says. The seven types of songs are by the... So you have to know all seven talas. So that means you can basically play them. And the ones that are really good, then they'll tell the drum player, okay, we're going to play this tal or this or that. Or, you know, all the instruments, you know, play in this key, or we're going to do this, or this raga, then it goes very nicely. But if they don't know it, then they just start singing. They may be a great singer, but without that knowledge, everybody else has to match. So if they're good, it works out. And if they're not good, it doesn't work out. Yeah. Dhruvas. The seven traditional types of songs, which have seven different measures, are called dhruvas. The dhruva is so called because in it, padas, words, varnas, melodic movements, alankara, musical ornamentations, laya, temple, jati, melodic types, and panis, ways of beginning, are regularly, dhruvam, connected with one another. So all these different aspects, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I mean, so all these are all naturally held together. So therefore, dhruva, it means a steady, like this, like that. Just as the painting is supported by wall. You're talking about the thing in the house, or you're talking about that city in England?
A painting in the house inside.
Supported by the wall, or a wall. Okay. Or if you say, that as the painting is supported by the wall, or as a painting is supported by a wall.
Okay.
The dhruva song is supported by pada, word. And pada in turn is supported by the chandas, meter. Right? Dhruvas, depending on the content, and made to express sentiments suited to the situation, embellish the drama like the stars illuminating the sky. Right? So the dhruva, it means it's theirs because of the words. The words are expressing something. And those words then are sung in the according to the beat, according to the tala, right? And so and that tala has a meter, so that's why it has the specific things, the meters. The laya is the tempo. It was just the beat. It's just the steadiness. And then the what do you call it? You have the tala. Then will be a specific cycle of the beat. You know, what's strong, what's weak, and everything like that. You know, just like in a preparation. You change the proportion, you get a different preparation. Right? So, yeah. So like that, then the dhruvas, their contents, which is dependent on the sentiments. So the sentiments are there, therefore there's certain words. That's all expressed then according to the time. That all together, then it says here, sentiments suited to the situation embellish the drama like stars illuminating the sky. You know, so the sky is nice, and then you put in the stars, it becomes even better. Right? Pushkaras, drums. In regards to the significance of drums in drama, Bharat Muni states as follows. One should take special care in playing of drums because the drums, along with the songs, has been called the basis, literally bed, of the dramatic performance. This playing and the songs being well performed, the production of plays do not run any risk. Musical notes coming out first from the human body go to the wooden veena, and then they go to the pushkara, playing of drums, and then the solid instruments. Right? So, notes are coming from the veena, meaning the body, right? So the words, I mean not the words, the vocal. That then is played on the instrument. So that's the uniqueness of the veena, is that basically it can do what you can do with your voice, the veena itself can do. Yes. That's the uniqueness of it. Then as you go to other instruments, they may or may not be able to do those things. Yes. So it's the main instrument. Yes. Then from there, that goes to the drums, because then it's going to be according to a beat. But as we see, is that you have the lie, the tempo, but then there's certain ones that are emphasized and certain are not. That, therefore, then brings you to the solid instruments. So like the kartals, they only play certain beats. Mm-hmm. Like we don't go 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, right? You know, I mean, I think the monkey on, what do you call it? Sesame Street does that, right? You know, so you know, it's 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. So that matches then with the other things. So that's based on, and then if the drums change, you have to change how the kartals are played. It's not that you change how the kartals are played and then the drums, and everybody has to. So it's not that everybody's sitting there and then the kartal player comes out, and then when he starts playing, then according to that, everything adjusts. No, it goes the other way around. You know, much to the, how you say, disappointment of the kartal player, but. Like, yeah. Strokes on them by various movements are to be known as giving shelter to words. Right? So the words then can fall within those because it has chanda, it has the meter. So the drum can play that meter. And so then the words take shelter in that. Right? You know, it's just like in modern, you have the rap. The words are taking shelter, you know, in the beat that's going on. And so that's what's the attractive feature of it. They're just bringing that part out. You know, the varna and all that's kind of missing. Like that, you know. You know, actually, rap would be perfect for, like, Hungarians. Or, you know, because they always talk in that monotone kind of thing. No? Okay. The playing of drums should be similar in meter to that of the songs. Right? It has to play those, but it'll place that you can put in alankar and everything just like you do in the voice. So it should be similar. The movement of limbs should be made in conformity to the measures of songs and of the instrumental music. Right? So then the movements of limbs in the dance and that, or how someone's moving and that, that should be in conformity to the measures of the songs and the instrumental music. So how, what, you know, when it says that, you know, then Krishna plays his flute, that's when you put your hands like this. You don't do something else. Yeah. You don't go like this. Yeah. You know, so that's all that matches together. So you see is that the drums, then they're kind of like, that's why it says it's like the bed, the basis. And then because of that, then on that, then you have the tall, on that, then you have the instrumental and the vocal, on that, then you have the acting. So the acting's the main, right? Like you have the bed, and on top of that you put a nice sheet, and then you sit on top of that. It's not that the bed's the most important. You know, we don't hear of a drama where the curtain opens and then, you know, the stage is empty, and then they bring out, then some guys, you know, bring out a bed, put it down, and then disappear, and then everybody stands up and roars and claps and, you know, like that, and all that for a few minutes, and then they close the curtains, and then everybody leaves and is very satisfied. No. No. Distribution of roles. The knowledge about the characteristic features of different characters involved in a dramatic performance and apt distribution of roles to the actors play a vital role for successful production of a dramatic spectacle. The characters in play have two kinds of employment, external, bahya, and internal, abhyantara. The character which has dealings with the king is an internal employee, and one who has dealings with the people outside is an external employee. Mm-hmm. Right? So in other words, whoever is dealing with the hero is internal, whoever is dealing with outside of that, they're external. Mm-hmm. After considering together the actor's gait, speech, and movement of limbs, as well as their strength and nature, the experts are to employ them to represent different roles in a play. Hence, the selection of actors should be preceded by inquiry into their merits. Right? So it means according to their nature, you choose a role for them, because then they'll play it very naturally. Like that. Like, so you see someone acting in one way, then you know they do those kind of parts. But let's say everybody's hanging out together, you know, after or between shots and that, and something else comes up and some little interaction goes on, and you see that actor that you've always, you know, put into certain roles suddenly go into another role, you know, in his kind of joking with his, you know, the other actors. Then you know, oh, he can do that also. So then you can start to expand on what it is. But you'll see others, they always do the same things in the same way all the time. Right? So they do those roles. The director will not feel difficulty in the choice if he distributes roles to different actors after ascertaining their natural aptitudes. If, however, such persons are not available, the director should exercise discretion to employ someone after the consideration of the latter's nature and movement, as well as states to be represented, and should assign roles after considering their native places, desha and costume, vesha. So they don't have someone who's just naturally perfect to the role. They see who's close enough or who can bring out, and then they then train them and bring the parts out that they can do well. So maybe you're thinking, I will do all these aspects of the lead role, but I don't have that person, but this person can play, let's say, six aspects out of that. I'll bring those out, and the other four will be there, but they'll just come up and kind of go as much as the person can do. So they adjust like that. So if you consider all that, then it'll work. You know, costumes, this, like, so certain people can wear certain costumes. They don't have a problem. Other ones, they can't. You know, the crown always falls off their head. So don't let them play that role or tie the crown on their head. Conclusion. Conclusion of the conclusion. The drama is thus instructive to all classes of audience, possessors of the sthaibhava, who taste the rasa represented by an expression of the various anubhavas through words, gestures, costumes, and temperament of the actors, and derive pleasure and satisfaction. Right? So that's your, that's your core definition. Words are known as the body of the dramatic art, as everything in this world rests on words, and thus the gestures, costumes, and temperament merely clarify the meaning of words. Furnished with sweet and agreeable words, a play will appear very much beautiful, just as, I guess, a lotus lake will appear beautiful, decorated, adorned with swans. Gestures are used by the actor to establish his character and situation on the stage, whereas costumes communicates the concept and mood by its dress and decor?
Decor. Yes, in French it is decor.
Decor.
It's E.
But generally it's an E.
Yes, yeah, it was E, but when I read the space, then it became D-I.
Okay, so decor, okay. And thus, add ornamentation to play to make it a grand spectacle. So in other words, it makes it grand and all. The words are the basis, right? In conjunction with the above components, songs and instrumental music, which are known as the resting place of the drama, heightens the dramatic effects of the act, scenes, and plays. So we saw the vritis, the verbal is the main, the others add to that.
Yes.
Then the words are the main, then your songs and all that can add to that, and then the songs are supported by the other instruments,
yes.
You know, the meter and that. And then also then, what was the other... Yeah, and all the abhinaya, everything else is to support the words.
Yes.
So that becomes the thing. You know, so that's why in the beginning there was the word.
Yes.
Right? And according to some, the word was good, or the word was the bird. Or the bird's the word. Yeah, you know, so the point is it brings in, it comes down to that. In other words, what you're trying to get across through your words, that's most important. And everything else then is supportive of that. How to bring out, and so you can relish the words. For appropriate expression of emotions through the abhinaya, dramatic acting, one should have knowledge of the four dramatic styles, which are the repositories of the various emotional states and sentiments, and therefore known as the mothers of drama, as well as the 10 kinds of dramatic plays and the construction of a dramatic plot. Right? So you want to express all this, then you have to know all these things,
mm-hmm.
right? Then you, because you know the medium through which you can use. When a dramatic performance containing all of the above aspects of a play is produced after paying thorough attention to the three main merits of production, proper production, brilliance of pageant, and actors. Production is proper production, brilliance of pageant, and actors capable of good production, it will succeed in creating the desired rasa anubhava, or aesthetic relish to the spectator, which is the main purpose of the dramatic art. Such a dramatic spectacle will give relief to the unlucky persons who are afflicted with sorrow and grief or overworked, will educate people, and will be conducive to observance of duty as well as to fame, long life, intelligence, and general mood. Jot. Thus we conclude the study of the Natya Shastra. You have 20 seconds for any questions or comments.
Bharat Muni Ki Jai.
Yes, Bharat Muni Ki Jai. Oh, I see. Okay, because of that, I thought it closed.
The bracket.
Yeah. Okay. Jai.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.